So, one of the things we discussed regarding muktzah was that part of the reason something is muktzah is that going into Shabbos, you do not plan on using it over Shabbos. Therefore, it is not set aside, or it is set aside as something you're not going to use over Shabbos. So, this week, we have a category of something called nolad. The word nolad refers to something born, something happening, something new. Here, you couldn't have had in mind that you were going to use it on Shabbos because it didn't exist going into Shabbos. And this category has something unique. And that is that this is one of the few areas where the halachot of Yontif are actually more stringent than the halachot of Shabbos. Okay? We all know, we can cook on Yontif, and we can carry on Yontif. So a lot of, whenever it's a tzorach ochal nefesh, whenever it's for us to be able to eat, so we can cook and we can carry, and we can transfer flames. A lot of things are more lenient on Yontif. This is one area of halacha that is actually more stringent on Yontif. And for that, we have to break down two categories of nolad. One category of nolad is what we'll call, or what the English Sefer Halachas HaMuktzah that I was reading called it, absolute nolad. Absolute nolad is this item totally did not exist going into Shabbos or Yom Tov. If that item did not exist going into Shabbos or Yom Tov, it's muktzah. We can't use it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But there are other items that did exist, but were in a different, less usable or unusable form going into Shabbos and Yom Tov, and come in the middle of Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's now in a form that we could use it, that is actually allowed on Shabbos and not allowed on Yom Tov. Okay, that's the area that becomes stricter on Yom Tov. So what's the source of all this? The source of all this comes from the first Mishnah in Masechet Beitzah, or Beya. Source number one, Mishnah, Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov. So, we have eggs. Are you allowed to eat eggs on Yontif? Even if they're raw, you're allowed to cook them, right? Yontif, you're allowed to cook. But let's say the egg itself was laid on Yontif. So going into Yontif, this egg didn't exist. So Beit Shammai says, Tochal, you can eat it. Beit Hillel Omrim, lo tochal. You may not eat it. And that's how we paskin. You can't eat the egg that was laid on Yontif. The Gemara, the Mishnah continues with a few other cases. One of them is Hashochit Chayav Ha'of Mi Yom Tov. Let's say you want to shecht an animal on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov?
Yes. What? As long as you prepare the fire before the
As long as you prepare the?
Sand to cover the blood.
The sand. Excellent. If you prepare the sand to cover the blood, if it's an animal that needs blood covering, there are animals that don't. But if you prepare Beit Shammai Omrim, Yachvor B'dekar B'yachaseh. What can you do? You can take a shovel, dig, and get yourself dirt in order to do kisoy adam, to cover the blood. Beit Hillel omrim, lo yishchot, elim kin hayalo afar muchan mibojom, Beit Hillel paskins like bread. Okay? That only if you had the dirt prepared beforehand. Modim, but they agree. Shem shachat, that if you did slaughter already, bid the evid, but you didn't prepare the dirt, sheyachru b'dekar v'yichasa, they agree with Beit Shammai that in such a case, but with the evid, you can use your shovel to get dirt. Why? She'efer kira muchanhu. Because this specific dirt, or ashes, is considered muchan. It was already ready for use on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're going to get back to the efer case in a second. We're first going back to the egg case. What's the case of a Beitzah Shenolda B'Yom Tov, whether you can eat it or not? If you're saying it's a chicken that you're planning on eating, which one lays hens? It lays eggs. The rooster, the hen, the chicken?
The hen.
The hen. Okay. So if it was a hen that you were planning on eating, and then it decides to lay an egg, so then, my time I had a Beit Hillel. This is food that has been set aside as food. So what's the problem? Why would Beit Hillel say you can't eat this egg? If you can eat the chicken, or this hen, so of course you can eat its egg. Rather, Ela B'Tarnagolin Omedet L'Gadol Beitzim. You don't plan on eating this one, because you want to raise it, so it'll keep laying more and more eggs for you.
Is the egg necessarily eating the animal? It's a byproduct of the animal. It's not the animal.
But if the animal is not... if you didn't decide that you're not going to use this animal over Shabbos, so then... Meaning you decided
you were going to
use this animal on Shabbos, so then anything that comes from this animal you're going to use on Shabbos. By means of eating. Including anything that comes from
Yom Tov.
The eggs. On Yom Tov, correct. On Yom Tov. Correct. Yom Tov. So, Ela B'Tarnagolin Omedet L'Gadol Beitzim, this is one that you have designated, you're using it for the eggs. So therefore you're not planning on eating it. So now that you're not planning on eating it, if it lays an egg, you can't eat its egg either. Wait a minute. Then what's the Sora Beit Shammai? My time of the Beit Shammai, Muktzah, it's Muktzah. My Kusha, Dilma Beit Shammai, Lelo Muktzah. Who says they hold on Muktzah? Remember, we've been saying a few times that Muktzah is a Machloke, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, maybe they don't hold that, it's Muktzah. Kasach Adaitan, Afilu Man, the Shar Muktzah, Nolad Aser. So we have no conclusion about whether Beit Shammai holds a Muktzah, that it wasn't answered. We do have an answer, though, that even those who don't hold a Muktzah hold of the concept of Nolad. Nolad is Aser. Rashi comments, Dafilu Rabbi Shimon, the Shari ben Muktzah ben Nolad Aser, Dilu ben Muktzah svirale, lo makzi nishnaitem inde chazile. Why would he allow Muktzah? He doesn't hold a Muktzah. Because he's saying, anything that I could potentially use on Shabbos, I don't have out of mind for use on Shabbos. Even if it's unlikely that I'll use on Shabbos. Even if it didn't exist. I could potentially use it on Shabbos, it's not out of mind. But comes Nolad, that would be about Muktzah. But Nolad, when it comes to didn't exist at all, lo havi yadid and havi daita yad. Since he didn't know it existed, he couldn't have in mind about it. So he doesn't hold the concept that a person is going to remove from his mind the possibility of using certain items. But that's only when those items actually existed. Even if it's unlikely he would use those items, he still has in mind he'll use them. When they don't exist, that doesn't apply. Okay? That's Rashi's explanation for the difference between Nolad and regular books. Comes Tosot. Telo makzi inish maida chazilei avalun Nolad lo hava yada. So that's quoting Rashi, me'etmo. V'tema. Da Rabbi Shimon de shari b'mukza shari b'nolad. We know Rabbi Shimon is not only matir mukza, he's also matir Nolad. How do we know that? Because in the Gemara Shabbos, Rabbi Huda Omer, Ein Masik Meshivrei Kelim, you can't use certain broken Kelim. Rabbi Shimon Matir, what? Afal Gav the Havei Nolad. Now, what is it talking about broken Kelim? Not a Kli that was broken on Wednesday, because we discussed a Kli that was broken on Wednesday. If you decide that you're going to keep it around and use it as a Kli, so then it's not considered a broken Kli, and you can use it on Shabbos. We're talking about a Kli that actually broke on Yontif. Sorry, not Shabbos, Yontif. Yishlamar lo dami dahai nola dahacha having nola tfei shemitchila lo ayaba olam avahatam akli ayaba olam raksha nishbar. And herein we come to our distinction that we made at the beginning of this year. There is a concept of an item that completely didn't exist, and then there's a concept of an item that existed, but in a different form. So previously this was a chair. I would never ever use it as firewood. But when the chair broke, and now I have pieces of a chair, I might consider using it as firewood. So an item that really didn't exist, we're going to say, that's a different category of Nolad than an item that existed in a different form. That's clear to everybody?
That example that you gave there is a Yom Tov example.
Yes. Now, the Gemara Beitza Daf Chet goes to the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah, we discussed the dirt being Muchan. She'efer Kira Muchan. So the Gemara says, Efer Kira Man Dachar Shmei. The Mishnah was busy talking about it. It says an egg, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. It says if you shecht, and then you can dig with a shovel or not dig with a shovel. Why? Because Efer Kira is Muchan. Efer Kira is the ashes of an oven. So the Gemara says, Efer Kira Man Dachar Shmei. Who mentioned its name? Why are you bringing that up? Amar Rabba Hachikamar Ve'efer Kira Muchanu. Oh, it's another topic. Ed and Avav. Okay. What are we talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Shehusak Me'erev Yom Tov Aval Husak Me'yom Tov Aser V'Roy Litzlok Bo'Beitza Mutter. Let's say you have ashes. So ashes from a fire that you've made during the week. So those ashes are considered Mukhan. They're available for you to use to do Kisoy Adam with. Let's say it's Yom Tov and you made a fire from an existing flame. Talk about it in a Mutter fashion. So you have this big bonfire here, and you brought a flame from your little yurtzeit lift, and you light your big bonfire, and now you have all this ash here. And now you shech the chicken, and you want to do kisui adam. Can you use that ash? So, if the fire is dead, and all that's left is ash, it's a problem. Why? Because this ash did not exist going into Yom Tov. That ash is Nolad. Did this ash exist, but in a, or did this ash exist in a different form or not exist at all?
Different form.
What form was it in?
Fire.
Wood. Okay. So if it existed as wood, we said on Yom Tov that's a very chamor form of nolad. We don't allow something that existed in one form in an unusable form to be used in its usable form. Okay. So it wasn't fitting to be ash. It was wood. So now it's ash, you can't use it. But it threw in that line, then Roy let's load about beitza mutter. If the ash is still hot ash, such that you could roast an egg on it, I guess there's still some coals there. So then it's mutter. Why? Because the ash can be used for your mutter purpose, so it's not usher to use now. Because it can be used for mutter purpose, it can be used for one mutter purpose, you can use it for a second purpose. Okay, that's what the Gemara says, and that's the connection between Efer Kira. Okay, now we have to come to some practical examples in all our lives that come up all the time. And then we're going to get to some examples that Brett's going to say to me that doesn't connect to our lives because we're not in agriculture. Right? Okay, so number one, let's start with snow. Let's say it snows on Shabbos. Can you make a snowball and throw it at a person? Or, without getting into whether you can make a snowball, can you take the snow and throw it at a person?
Yeah, I think you can. As long as
Inner Shusiyah, correct. We're not dealing with an issue of carrot.
Yeah, I think you can.
Okay, why? Isn't this item new? Was made on Shabbos, so going into Shabbos, you weren't planning on using it?
Oh,
I don't think you can.
Yeah, but
you don't think you can.
It existed in a different form, no?
It existed in a different form. What form is that?
That means it still always exists.
Good. Okay, this machloket we just had right here, Moshe Feinstein, Moshe Zalman. Okay?
Hello.
So, luckily we can pass like Moshe Zalman. He doesn't need my haskama. Okay, so let's go here. It's in a footnote in Shmir Shabbos Gilchata, source 5. Me'agarashaz orabashlita shamati tahari yadua shasheleg naser rak samok yirida dageshem al adamav lo lifneichem. It only turns to snow right before it comes down. Up there, it already exists as water precipitation of some form. V'nimtza shaloya klal me'edbol, and it wasn't there yesterday, so even though it's coming down in snow, afilu hachi mevoar de'ein zechashem nolad. That is not nolad, and it's mutter to make a snowball and throw it on any person who is willing to let you throw it on him. Okay, that's a ben adam l'chavero law that has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. In Shmir Shabbos Kolchata, in an actual halacha, he discusses making ice. Can you make ice on Shabbos? What would be the issue?
Nola.
Because what is it beforehand?
Water.
And now it's turning into
ice.
Okay, so we have a chemical change going from liquid to solid. Can you do that? So, Shmir Shabbos Kilchata Paskins, though it's not Muskom Mikol, but this is how most Paskin, Shmir Shabbos says, Tov li manam li latet mayim latof teak ba'a shel amikarer hachashmali. It is best to refrain, this is very careful lashon, it is best to refrain from making ice on Shabbos. Ela im kein yesh tzorech gadol b'kach. Unless there's a real need. Okay. So when I was in, when I was learning from Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik Shlita, the son of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Shlita, Rav Aaron was the brother of the Rav Zatzal. Rav Meir's father, Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik, who was the son of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. So Rav Meir Soloveitchik, who was a rabbi in Manhattan, that people have heard of. So his father was a Rebbe of mine for 3-4 years. So I asked him, what is considered a tzorach gadol for this? So he gave an example, and I wasn't the only one in the room, and people asked for another example. So he gave 3-4 examples. I don't know if it was on purpose, if you realized, or it was by accident. But every example he gave involved guests. He would give one an example. He'd be like, let's say you run out of ice and people are coming over in the afternoon and they're going to want a cup with ice, so you have to make ice. That's a tzorach gadol. So somebody's like, okay, another example. He's like, okay, let's say you're not sure if you have enough ice and your wife would like more ice later that afternoon because she thinks some guests might come over, and et cetera, et cetera. So all the examples ended up involving guests. So I'm not going to define what tzorach gadol is for all of you, other than to say, if you have guests coming who are going to want ice, I have a mesorah, you're allowed to make ice for such a purpose.
So it basically sounds like, as long as you're not making it for zero reason altogether. Because those are pretty, like, you know, like, when you first said tzorach gadol, I was thinking, like, you know.
No, it's not for an injury.
Like injury.
No, that's allowed, that's a different story.
Yeah. Okay, so that's any reason, basically.
Correct. If you have a reason, don't just make it. Okay? Yeah. Let's move on to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan discusses another case. Davri Yaduah, Shemukoma Shechet Shabbos, Nechlekut Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Mukzah, we have Machloket, whether we hold a Mukzah. Rova Poskim, Paskim, like Rabbi Shimon, that were Matir. Zachen, lo hisker Rambam, Isser Nola, Klal B'Shabbos. And this is something that's very interesting, that we don't have Isser Nolah in that Siman that we started learning when we learned in Hilchot Muktzah. We don't have mention of Nolah in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the Rambam and others don't mention Nolah. And why would it be that reason? L'chein teresh, ha'tor b'Shulchan Aruch b'Siman Eilu, min Siman Ze'ad, Siman Shin Yigimosh, min Dabri Me'inyanei Muktzah, lo hiskiru Nolah klal. So we see there's this distinction that Rashi already made, that Tosfos made, and is Paskin La Halacha, is the distinction between Muksa and Nolad. One of the reasons could be that it applies more to Yontif than to Shabbos. Meaning, on Shabbos it's not a problem to use certain types of Nolad, the ones that existed just in albeit in a different form. Let's look at some of the examples in the Shulchan Aruch of Nolad categories, and we'll see what we can explain as a guideline. Yes?
So does this make that mean that you can't make ice on Shabbos? I mean, on Yontif, sorry.
On Yontif.
No making ice on Yontif.
We can make ice on Yontif. You have to be very careful when there's more than one day of Yontif.
But it's not an issue of Nolad.
What?
It's not an issue of Nolad.
You would think that, but from what I read, I didn't see that distinction made. It's a good question. It must be that, just like we said, the snow existing in the other form isn't real Nolad, so too ice isn't the pure example of Nolad. And I'll explain to you why. In other words, the Nolad categories we're going to, examples we're going to discuss now are eggs that didn't exist, or milk that the animal, that you just milk from the animal. The ice does exist as water, and how much of a change it is from water to ice isn't that significant, given that you can just refrigerate your drink too and it will be cold also, as opposed to having an egg or not having an egg.
So it's a difference between turning from firewood into ash.
Yes. Okay. That's That's more of a distinction than ice, I would think. Especially because it's reversible. Okay. So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch, the bottom of column 1. Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Hei, says, Mutu lomar le'enu yodi l'achlov b'em tov b'shabat mishum tzar b'ayot chayim, shalachalov mitzara, chalov asr bo b'ayot. When it comes to milking an animal on Shabbos, we have an issur to milk an animal on Shabbos. What issur would that be?
The animal needs rest.
Dash. Okay. We have a rule that you're not allowed to take something from where it is and remove it from that source. It applies to agriculture, meaning that items that are growing. So, as a toledah of dash is mefarik. Milking an animal falls in that category. You're taking the milk from its source, disconnecting it from its root source, the cow. So we're not allowed to milk an animal on Shabbos. But you are allowed to tell a goy to milk an animal on Shabbos, because if you don't milk the animal on Shabbos, the animal is in pain. So because of Tzar Bale Chaim, we said you can tell the goy to milk the animal on Shabbos, but the milk is Aser Bo Bayom. You can't partake of the milk on Shabbos. What Isser would that be?
No lot.
No lot. Yes.
But in Israel and Arabia, it's that.
Good. Good.
A different level of kosher.
Good. One thing we'll mention as a side point in this year, though it has less to do with Hilchot Muksa, is, well, it's wonderful when you just have a cow and and you deal with it. But what about when you have kibbutzim and entire countries and industries who need this milk, and we can't give up on a seventh of the milk production in the whole country, so what do? So, there are a few different solutions. And I'm going to use the term solution because they're all solutions. And therefore, the Mahadrin Hashkafos don't rely on any of them. So if you go to your milk bags in the Makolet, you can see there's a different colored bag or a different symbol when it's Chalav Shabbat, when it was milked on Shabbos, and it doesn't have the same level of hashkacha as the other ones. Now, if you really believe, you know, this is how we're going to exist as a country, in Am Yisrael, you think that these halachic solutions are wonderful halachic solutions, so then you can drink them all. I'm just telling you, just to be aware that they mark the distinction on the bags of milk, and people rely on many, many halachic solutions, such as Heter Mechira, Prosbol, Chira Chametz. I'm not equating any of them. There are people who rely on one, not the other. That's not the discussion of this year. Just pointing out that it's a halachic solution that was deemed necessary because of the great need of how could these kibbutzim lose a seventh of their milk production. So what are some of the solutions? Some is that when we milk it, we milk some to waste and then we slip in a bucket. That is one of the halachic solutions. Another halachic solution is it's done by a machine on a timer, and since the cows are used to getting milked at 10 o'clock every day, they walk over to this machine, and the machine milks them, though I'm told that it doesn't really happen fully automatically, you need somebody to attach it, yeah. So for such a purpose, they hire some nice Thailandi workers to attach the cow to the machine. So all that happens in Shabbos. So some of them combine all of that, they a little bit to waste, and the machine, and the timer, and the non-Jewish worker, etc. It depends on the rav of the individual kibbutz or hashkafa or whatever. But now let's get back to our discussion of muksa. Certainly, whatever solution you used, having the milk that Shabbos is a problem of nolad. Next source, Beitz Shenolda B'Shabbos. This is where the Shulchan Aruch is paskening la'alacha, the halacha we discussed in the first mission, on the first verse on the page. Meitzah shenolda b'Shabbos, asra filu l'tatzma. You can't even handle it. V'afilu nedarva be'elef, even if one egg that was laid on Shabbos gets mixed up with 1,000 eggs that weren't laid on Shabbos, kulan asuro, you can't handle any of them now. Why? We have a concept in halacha called material, something that will become mutter. Normally we hold of something called batal b'shishim, 1 in 60, and if it's mixed up in 60, so it's mutter. But when something's going to become mutter, you just have to wait or there's a way to be makshir and they're all mutter, so then you have to wait, it's never batel. So since all these eggs, if you just wait 24 hours, will be kosher, none of the eggs are kosher right now. You can cover it, you can't even touch it. Now what's the concern about touching it? Let's read the Mishnah Berurah, the last source in the first column. Shelo yigaba hainu bakli, with the kli. Kosher came in the other of the and all the more so you can't touch it with your hand. Why? Since the egg is round, it's going to move. You can't touch it in any way because it moves. Normally, when we discuss Hilchot Muksa, we've been saying all along, there's no iser of touching Muksa, there's an iser of moving Muksa. There's certain times, there's certain categories of Muksa, we said you're allowed to move it when you need its place, when you need it, etc. But all the time we said, it's not a problem to touch it, unless said so otherwise. Here, this is one of those times, you're not even allowed to touch the egg, because it is likely to move, given that it's round. Okay, let's go to the top of the second column. Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you have a leak. It's dripping down some rainwater. So, mutu litein kli tachan adlaf v'shava. You can put some kind of bucket or pot to catch the rainwater. And if it fills up, shofo maksir l'kumo. You can spill it out and take it again. And put it there again to catch more water. But you can only do this if the rainwater is potable, if you can drink it. If it's dirty water, if it's muddy water that's leaking in your house, then you can't handle the kli when it's filled with the muddy water. You can't even put the pot there in the first place because you're making a what's called a garosh l'rei, which actually translates into like a pile of excrement, which is going to be one of our coming shurim. We only have four left, and Hilchos Muksa. We're going to do one or two on buses, one on Teltel Ben Atzad, and one in Garav Shel Rei. So we're going to cover that topic about disgusting things like diapers and garbage, how to deal with that type of muksa on Shabbos. The Mishnah comments, L'Rechitza, if it is potable, you can handle it, because rain coming down isn't muktza or nolad. Because you can drink it, or you can use it to wash your hands. Even if it's not drinkable for you, but it's drinkable if it's potable enough to give to an animal. So that was the next category, was rain or a drip. Shulchan Aruch continues. Muktza. There are categories of muktzah that are more chamor on Yom Tov than Shabbos. Rama, v'yesh matir muktzah afil b'Yom Tov, aval nolad asher ledivrayim afil b'Shabbos. But everybody, even those who disagree with the statement of the Shulchan Aruch, agree that nolad is asher. What's he talking about, ledivrayim? Says the Mishnah Berurah, katva achronim, da'av shev b'Shabbat naktin al ikar la'atir afil muktzah nolad, delo kebali svar zo. What's the case? Let's say you were eating meat or chicken, and now you have bones. So on Yom Tov, you can't handle these bones. Why? Because going into Yom Tov, what were these bones?
Chicken.
They were part of your chicken, part of your meat. Which is, ra'oy, is fitting for who to eat?
Yeah.
For a human. Now that you ate off the meat, these bones are ra'oy only for?
A dog
to eat. So yes, this is appropriate for a dog to eat, but that's nolad. It existed in one form as human meat. Now, meaning meat for humans, now it exists in another form, meat for animals. That is considered the second inferior category of nolad, the not absolute nolad, but ordinary nolad, and therefore you can't handle that on Yom Tov. Okay, so again, that's more chamor than on Shabbos. On Shabbos, if you have an animal that you do feed these things to, you can feed it to a dog. Yes?
What do you do with the bones then?
Ah. So one of the things we're going to discuss is how to remove a plate full of bones that's garf shalrei again, so you can not touch the bones. You need your plate, so you can get rid of them. But you can't give them to...
There's a point at which there's one last bit of meat on that you eat off, and then the bone becomes mukta.
Yeah, so you have to put it down. Correct. That is actually the issue. You can't hold on to this item. It is no longer edible for you.
Well, can you just solve that by not eating all the meat off the bone?
You could solve that.
What about people
But aren't you going to miss out on all this meat?
And also, I don't think we like chewing their bones.
There are people like chewing their bones, then they're not at that point yet. If it's the type of bone you would chew, then it's still edible for you. It's still considered food. Okay. Let's move on. Efer Kiro, which was the case at the end of the Mishnah, again discussed in Beitza Daf Chet. This is where the Shulchan Aruch paskens in the Halacha. Efer Kiro Shehusak Me'er of Yom Tov, Mutar L'chasot Po. You can use that ash to cover up the blood. Aval Im Husak Be'Yom Tov. But if it was lit on Shabbos, Aser, unless it was hot enough that you can still cook an egg in it. Elam Kein Ucham Shemroi L'Tzilch Be'Beitza, Vim Shachan, you did slaughter and you don't have ash, Mutar L'chasot Po, Afa Pi She'en Roi L'Tzilch Be'Beitza, you can use that ash, even though it wasn't hot enough, because we paskin Beit Hillel was molded to Beit Shammai and that din. Kamis the Mishnah Berura, Aser. Vafilu matirin muktzah, vafilu ben nolad. Mikol akom ben nolad gamar kazeh. This is on the previous one, I think. Demekara eitzim, oh no, it's on this one. Demekara eitzim vahashta efer, kule amma modim das betoto. Even those who don't hold of certain categories of muktzah, certain categories of nolad, agree that when an item went on Yontif from tree to ash, that it's something new that you didn't have set aside, and therefore you can't handle it to use it for Kisui Adam. Mishnah Berura commenting on, we did already, what do you call it, bones. So now we have also shells and pits. So in Masikim we can plan, can you use the peels? You ate dates on Yom Tov. This comes up also, correct? People who eat dates, I don't know. But people who eat dates, this comes up on Yom Tov. You can't use them for to light, to throw in the fire. Even if they're edible for an animal. But now, what's the reason? Similar to the bones. Yesterday, this was a date. The date had a pit inside, but it was a date. Now, it's animal food. So it's a new status. Nechshav ka'ochal atzma shiroi l'achilat adam, v'chshav ein ruyin rak l'achilat behema, v'hav alein nolad. Yes?
Can you set aside the pits while it's inside the date to be animal food?
Before Yontif?
And the bones of the chicken.
I don't know.
You could also say something about the egg.
You could the egg inside the chicken that he's going to lay?
You're anticipating...
That he's going to lay an egg. So that can't be. Because, meaning this actually exists. We know there's a pit inside the date. You don't know.
No, let's say you've got a breeding chicken who for the past 3 months have been laying every single day. It's the laying season. So it's guaranteed to be laying.
So according to what he's saying, the answer would be no. But I don't know the answer. Okay, his logic is logical. Okay. Let's move on in the Shulchan Aruch. Beitza shenolda b'yom tov asur ligabal v'koshen shel halacha. You can't touch an egg born on Yom Tov, and certainly you can't move it, and certainly you can't eat it. Here's where we come up to a case that you were just discussing. Remind me your name.
Yoni.
Okay. Beitza sheyatza ruba me'erev Yom Tov v'chazor v'achar kach nolda b'yom tov. So you're looking at your chicken going into Yom Tov, and you see there's an egg trying to come out. It doesn't come out. Okay, so you walk away, and then you come back to the chicken coop, and you find the egg. It's mutter, because we can assume that this egg was actually born before Yom Tov. L'fichach, afilu badak makina shel tarnagolet elev Yom Tov samach v'chashicha v'lo matzav beitza. Even if we checked the nest just before it got dark, and there was no egg, l'machar hishkim, and in the morning you come and you find an egg, matzav beitza, muteret. Why? Shetarnegolet eino yoledet balayla. Chickens don't lay eggs at night. Va'anu tolin shemei etmol yotzaruba v'chazer. We say, since we saw it coming out and going back in, we figure most of it must have come out already during the day. In other words, we're going to assume this egg wasn't laid on Yantif. This egg, halachically, is viewed as having been laid before Yantif. Aval im lo badar me'erev Yantif. But if you didn't check before Yantif, then it's no good. She'anu tolin shemei etmol nolam. We can't apply that. We have to say that it was born on Yom Kippur. Knowing this rule, that chickens lay eggs in the day, and not at night, let's say it's Yom Kippur night, and you want an egg. So you go and you knock on Chris, your neighbor's door, and you say, hey Chris, can I have an egg? Can you have one of those eggs or not?
Sure.
Is there a problem that could have been laid on Yom Kippur?
No.
It's not a problem. Why? Because eggs are laid during the day. What if it's not Yantif night, but it's Yantif afternoon, mincha time, towards the end of Yantif? Can you knock on Chris's door and say, hey, can I have an egg? The answer is no, because Chris can have an egg that was laid that day on Yantif. The fikach mutar the kach beitzim in ha'enu yodim b'leil rishon shel Yantif tizitalinon b'shme'erav Yantif nodim. This is one of those halachot that have to be updated based on technology. The Sefer Halachas HaShabbos, he points out, in Halachas HaMuksa by Rav Bodner, Sefer Tatuli Shabbos, he calls it, in Hebrew. Nowadays, people raise chickens for eggs, so they have a system of lights that cause the chickens to lay eggs multiple times a day. That is the technology that exists today. No chicken lays, since a chicken is trained to lay an egg, or naturally lays an egg, once a day, every morning, let's say, so instead of the chicken laying it every 24 hours, they put the chicken in a chicken coop with lights that go off and on a schedule, and the chicken can then lay two or three eggs a day. So because of that, now that you know that chickens can lay eggs at night, and not during the day, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch is saying, at night, you can just take the egg because you can assume it was laid during the day. That no longer applies, says Sefer Tzadli Shabbos. That heter no longer applies because that chazakah no longer applies. The chazakah of chickens only lay eggs during the day doesn't exist anymore. Yes?
Two things. When you say if you don't check before you open, you mean you don't check the nest, or you don't see the egg coming out of the chicken?
Either way. If you're not there to see if there's an egg. Yeah. So that was one. Yeah, two.
The egg exists fully formed inside the chicken for a time before it comes out.
How long?
I don't know.
Good question. But maybe that amount of time would be enough to meet up.
So that would take
that could be enough.
Even though it's inside the chicken.
Even though inside the chicken, if it really does exist. If you were to open the chicken and there'd be a fully formed egg inside, I think halakhically we would view that egg as having existed. Okay, if you open the chicken, there's no fully formed eggs inside, and halakhically doesn't exist. So what point in the chicken gestation process is that? I don't know. Science isn't good in my...
Yes? It's not a second camera for the second day. Does that mean the second day is its own entity, or...?
The second day is its own entity, except for Rosh Hashanah.
Meaning, so if according to old technology, you went and asked for an egg on the second night of the answer, it's okay. Because even if it was laid on the first day of the answer, the second day is a different
day. It's a different day. Correct.
Yeah, but if something's null on it, it's mukta, wouldn't it last for the whole yontif?
But it's a different yontif.
It's a new yontif.
But Rosh Hashanah's Yom
HaRach. But I'm talking about one of those Yom Tovim where it's 2 days.
In Chutz La'aretz, you're saying. Yeah, so then that would be different. Second day you can have from the first
day. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now let's go to the last source, the Chayadam. Davar Sheroy Lishtamish Bo Elishan. Here's where he goes through his categories in Muksa. So I only gave you the two that relate to us. Davar Sheroy Lishtamish Bo Elishan Nishtana B'Shavat Mimashaya B'Habikain Nolad Mikom Lakom Kilom She'eno Masa Chadash Gamzem Boter B'Shabbos. If it's not absolute Nolad, it's ordinary Nolad, meaning it existed just in a different form. On Shabbos, it's Mutter. Kimo kelim shenishmeru b'Shabbos. If you broke on Shabbos, chein nachri she'asa kelim me'etzim. You have a non-Jewish carpenter who made a bench on Shabbos. Can you sit on that bench on Shabbos? The answer is yes. It existed as wood, and now it's in the form of a bench. You can get benefit from that bench on Shabbos. On Yontif, that wouldn't be allowed. Batzamor rachim, soft bones, in the pargament of basar, v'molayim mechavur in the basar, bones that were attached to meat, haya dinam kebasar, then their status was as meat, and now their status is only as dog food, akopanim machshavar leklavim. That is an item that on Shabbos you get benefit from. Now, let's go to the second part, panchet, gambazel lekuli alma ha'mimokzav unnola gomor shenasem masa chadash. Kigon efer shebekira, it was made kara etzim ashna efer, it was considered wood and now it's ash. Bafilu chamadayin if it's a bit on hot. On b'yom tov, avo gam shekozman shecham eno mokzav dayin roller letzolpo beitza, avon nitzdanim kfar avinola. But if it is cooled off, it is considered nolad. So, we've covered the two categories of nolad. One of them, absolute nolad. The item totally didn't exist in the world. And that is a problem both on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. But, an item that did exist, but in a different form, that is not Muksa on Shabbos, but it is Muksa on Yom Tov. And we'll continue next week with buses, when you have like a tray or a table holding different items of muksa, how to deal with it when you leave your phone on your bed on Shabbos, what to do with that.